Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin. Today, our discussion will be focusing on efforts in addressing hate speech in South Sudan. And as you are all aware that ever since the conflict broke out in the country since 2013, the country has witnessed a surge in hate speech both online and offline. And this is affecting efforts for a sustainable peace in the country. So, what is being done in terms of addressing hate speech in the country? This is some of the questions we are going to be discussing here with my two guests who are already with me in the studio. And our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929. Or you can also call us again on 091206-8101. Do send us your comment or question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. And I am joined here in the studio to discuss efforts in addressing hate speech in South Sudan by Nelson Kwaje, who is the executive director of Defy Hate Now. You are most welcome to Radio Mirai once again.
Okay, thank you so much.
And also I have Rebecca Agaudeng, who is the director out of Chronic Hatred. Welcome once again to Radio Mirai.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, let's begin by looking at what is hate speech. People have been talking about it. Let me begin, ladies first. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Hate speech, let me say, depends with the person and the purpose in which hate speech is being worked on. So hate speech is start with a word that attacked directly to an individual, group, or people, or community. So hate speech is that word or the attack that incites conflict and intolerance within the community. Thank you.
Okay, and Nelson, why is it very harmful to our communities and the future of South Sudan? Maybe you can join that together by also telling us a different version, if you have, of what is hate speech and its impact negatively to our society.
Okay, thank you for the question. Just a quick correction. The organization name is, we have been renamed. We are now called Digital Right Frontlines.
Okay.
I think that brief did not go.
You have transformed.
Yes, we have transformed. We are called now DRF. Digital Rights Frontlines.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically we are tackling all the wider issues involved with hate speech, misinformation, and incitement to violence.
Okay.
Hate speech, as Rebecca said, hate speech is usually target someone based on their protected characteristics. So, you know, when you look at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, when you look at the protected characteristics of a person, that is your gender, your ethnicity, sex, all these kind of characteristics, these are protected characteristics. So when someone attacks someone based on those characteristics, that is hate speech. The impact of it in a society, actually, it's a well-known, but also sometimes people don't understand it. Hate speech actually creates more division in a society. So you find a society that is already has fractions and has different factions, it amplifies those divisions, and it can times lead to conflict. Or when there is an existing conflict, it tries to make that conflict even worse. So you see now, like, even the issues that happen when you see conflict in Sudan, when you see conflict in South Sudan, this conflict is started as a different reason. But once you put hate speech to it, it amplifies and creates old wounds. And then now it becomes a perpetual cycle of violence. And it also, it has psychological issue. Like, right, look, there are a lot of people who have a public platform. Let me say you're a presenter at Radio Mirai. And mm-hmm. You say something and someone says, this is an Equatorian who is trying to do this and this.
Yeah.
Or, okay, we know this radio station, we know your agenda. You are from this and this and this. So you find it has a psychological issue. At times it makes people even not to speak and not to have a platform.
Okay. And let's find out, we have heard more from Nelson. Rebecca, how can hate speech exploit the existing tension in South Sudan?
Hate speech has really created mistrust among the people of South Sudan. Looking at the issues that are in hand, you find that people are more divided, people are more, you know, disunited, and all this is fueled by hate speech. Yeah.
Okay. And what role can each of us play in terms of trying to prevent this hate speech from fueling this conflict further?
Yeah. We have individual roles and inclusive action, where an individual can say no to hate speech by accepting that individual roles. We can promote empathy as an individuals and ensure that we preach love among the community. We can also promote national identity and be proud as South Sudanese. We as individuals can also ensure that we come out of hatred. You see, as parents, we can have individual role as parents where we ensure that our children are trained to love other people around them. We can also have a campaign, general campaign or civic engagement within the communities to ensure that hate speech or hatred is further not educated or rooted in the people
okay.
of South Sudan.
All right. Nelson, from the Digital Rights Frontline, you have been doing a lot before you transformed to this new name now, when you identify hate now. You moved throughout campaigning against hate speech, having events. I also saw you one time online trying to really explain the dangers of hate speech. Are there some success stories you can share with us as to maybe your effort yielded some good results, and also maybe again, despite all your efforts, why is there still so much hate speech online?
I think, thanks for that. I think there are a lot of success stories, but one of the success stories on the area of fact-checking and trying to call out platforms that promote hate and promote misinformation. When we started in 2020, when we started to intensify some of these campaigns in 2020, all these social media platforms like Hotin Juba, Juba I, some of these platforms were really wild. Like they will publish something that is insightful, they will quote someone. So when we started fact-checking, calling them out, saying this is wrong, this is what, this is insightful, this is what, you can see some of, at least the ones who are on the main, they have tamed. You can see a lot of these platforms. Even we see now platforms like Hotin Juba at times doing fact-checking or at times correcting. And we see this with Juba. Some of these are called, alternative media. Some of them are still a bit spicy, but they're not hateful. You know, in other countries, a lot of these gossip blogs, what exist, but they do not promote hate. So some of these things, we have seen success in that area. The other success is the rise of young people. So we see it through music, through advocacy, in different places, we see a lot of rise of young people. And one of the things that I said, South Sudan now has a better shock absorbers. You know, if you're driving a car without shock absorber, anything,
yeah,
it will immediately you feel the heat. But now look at what happened. Like if this was 2016 or 2013, people will be with guns now in the streets of Juba. But now the country has, it's not, we're not better. We still have some of these things. But with the incident, some of the statements that are made by politicians, some of the things, some of the insightful things, you see the young people are now more reasonable. They're like, you know what? Let's try to wait. Mm-hmm. We still have conflict in different sides of the country, but that scale has not reached. It's okay. Because there is a better...
How do you handle that? Because also, I just want to connect, the media authority held a press conference almost a week ago, also warning politicians. I'm sure you have heard.
Yes.
And then how do you, as people from the digital right front line, how do you handle these issues? Or like I said in the beginning, there is both online and offline.
Yes.
So how do you handle offline?
So the way that you handle offline, you see in, like for example, in Kenya, they have something, they call it the National Reconciliation and Cohesion Commission.
Yeah.
So the role of that commission is to try to mediate.
Do we have an equivalence here in South Sudan?
We don't have an equivalence here. We don't have the equivalence of it. So that such a commission, what it will do, it will try to now hold, and it has also mechanisms for redress. So it's either a warning letter or a summon. Or some places, they can actually take prosecution role on someone. Now, such a commission is supposed to understand the historical and the context of this country and say, you know, people who hold public platforms should not do that. Because when you look at the, we have the media authority, but the media authority only regulate the media. If I'm speaking at a function in my village and addressing people during a funeral, what does that have to do with the media? But still insightful, it is still content that. Like in South Sudan right now, I know the peace agreement has aspects of that, but right now we do not have that. So it's a bit very hard. In other places, what should happen right now, a lot of these people should be addressed through their professional ethics body.
Mm-hmm.
So like for example, people who work in public service, they have a public service, whatever. People who are parliamentarians, they have the parliamentary committee that does that. But right now we don't have a national consensus of what constitutes incitement and what constitutes hate speech. Remember, some of these issues, they are not issues of judicial these are issues of societal issues.
Yeah.
Some of these issues are not issues of crime. These are issues of, as a society, we have experienced these things in the past and we do not want to go back to that.
Okay. Yes, Rebecca, the issue here is social media. And mobile phones are very powerful tools in terms of communication. And these days, everybody want to be the first to either break the news or share. If I get anything, before I even go through it, I just forward it and I will come and read later. So how can that be minimized by mobile phone users, social media users, in order to minimize the issue of sharing fake news and hate speech?
Okay, thank you. Maybe to start with adding on offline prevention, what are we doing to minimize hate speech? Maybe at our organization level, what we normally do is to ensure that we engage the community, go through community engagement, where we speak to people to be mindful on what can lead to a conflict or violence. So we educate them, ensure that there's fact-finding on a certain issue or information. So we educate them through nonviolence. We do community meetings, community engagement, to ensure that community are aware on what to do and what not to do, especially on the constitution and all that. So now coming to the use of mobile phones. In fact, with our community, which has just come out of war, and every other person is just adopting any culture, especially on the social media. So most of the time is that individuals should ensure that whatever you're sharing, you need to ensure that it is really authenticated. It is something that will not affect any other person. It is not something that will destroy and cause more division among the people. So we normally encourage our clients to know what they are taking in. before sharing.
And is a hate speech a major concern in the entire country, or it's only centralized in the urban centers?
Let me say, hate speech is rising, and it is one of the things that is causing division within a country and causing fear. And even the action of hate speech, you find that it is something that is a major concern, whether online or offline. Because you find in the community setting where people are conversing at the family dinner or gathering, you find just anybody speaking any words against any tribe or any other person. Mm-hmm. So it is a measure of division and mistrust. It's causing more mistrust because you find that we are not healed with the recurring wars that has happened back in, you know, during the liberation struggle, and adding the 2013 and 2016 and even the current war. You find that people are already, there's deep wounds that are already created by the series of war or the effects of war. So with this little that is going on, or the action of hate speech, you find that the society is deeply rooted in hatred.
And how do we get out of that as a country?
The only thing is to take up responsibilities as mm-hmm. a country, especially at the government level. It should be on by the government and the people and the society and the partners to ensure that hate speech or hatred is our full responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it is our role to rebuild our trust.
Do you think the government should come up with some punitive measures? Because, for example, here in Kenya, you can be taken to court.
Exactly.
Even in Nigeria, mm-hmm. you can also go to court and pay damages. So do you believe that the same should be applied in order to minimize hate speech? Why I'm asking this is that sometimes I've seen here, you may see a very graphic photo or video online being shared, and sometimes these are concocted, something that happened in Congo, they can say it happened now in Juba. So
true.
Juba is
true.
Burning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. You see, at in 2023, November, I wrote a letter to the president, an open letter, requesting him to decree hate speech, tribal division, hatred, you know, this division among the communities as a crime. So it is up to the government of South Sudan to ensure, to take a strategy that is making it illegal to speak or to, you know, to speak hate or to preach hatred or to plan hatred. It should be a government strategy. It is not only just a strategy that will be kept as a document, but should be something that is, you know, to take a 3-month or a 1-year campaign to speak against it and to ensure that everybody is educated and aware of the crime that is hate speech or anything that causes division among the country, because it is what we need most. We are already damaged. We are already, the trust is actually broken mm-hmm. within a country. So it
as
should
a
be
result of the hate speech.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Nelson, the issue is, now you have already mentioned the issue of fact-checking and all this, but beside the fact-checking, what are some of the practical ways to identify and challenge harmful contents?
So there are so many ways of identifying and challenging harmful content. First of all, it's classification. You need to classify what type of content that is.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now you're talking about some of the videos. So we have some content that is misinformation. We have also have content that is graphic content or dehumanizing content. Or we have content that is what is called false context.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken from this place and brought to this place. At times it's from another country. Or at times it's a speech, it's part of a speech that is cut and then made to represent something else.
Yeah. And they leave out the larger one and only take a small part of it and
yes.
capitalize on it.
Yes. And you know, if you speak on, like for example, if you speak on radio
yeah.
for like an hour, I can actually get about 30 seconds of that, cut it together, mm-hmm. and it looks like you're saying something very terrible. While maybe you're condemning that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have different types of this. And that also comes to the question of this technology now. You know, we have AI. I've
yeah.
been having a lot of conversations on AI. You know, with AI now, you can even do worse things.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can clone, there's something called voice cloning.
Yeah, the Minister of Information talked about it,
yes,
2 days ago.
Yes, like for example, if you take 30 seconds of my voice, you put it on that AI, you can immediately clone that voice. And now use it to, you have your own speech, mm-hmm. but with my voice.
Okay.
So it will be like about 10 seconds of my voice, you take it, you clone it, you make something else. The same thing can be done with video and with pictures. So you see, the identification technologies that we have been using are now even getting obsolete. Because now how will you cope up with this level of innovation? And that's why it needs constant updating. Like right now, what we are trying to do is try to tag all this content and report it. So we have a lot we report it to Meta.
Okay.
We report it to either Meta, to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also
do they take action faster or takes time?
It takes time, but they do take action.
Okay.
They do take action. And in conflict zones, they heighten that action strategy.
I saw during the election in Uganda, the last election, so many Facebook accounts were closed.
Yes.
Even including for some political parties in Uganda.
Yes, yes, yes. Because, and that's what brought for Facebook, because there is something called coordinated inauthentic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it means if you're like, you use a lot of accounts to push for a negative campaign. So then that means you create about 10 accounts. This person creates about 10 accounts.
Okay.
And we just say we are smearing this person. So you wake up in the morning, you'll find images of you. This person is saying this person to discredit and to impact the election process or to impact public opinion. We also see this here in South Sudan.
Yeah.
You see pages being promoted to say, hey, this person and this person met in this place, this person stole money and what. You might think you're fighting corruption, but these are all coordinated character assassination elements that are supposed to impact the kind of the public opinion on issues. And a lot of these issues that you see, the public opinion or need at times could be driven by some of this online propaganda. I mean, you see, like right now in South Sudan, you might think some of these things are not impactful, but now in South Sudan, all these questions of rat,
yeah.
These questions of what, these are actually, online media is the one that creates those. And it can actually impact people in real life.
Yeah. And the question is, what is the collective responsibility? Like Rebecca said that now it has caused a deep heated division among the people. You will agree with me. My first time to go to Benti was on the 8th of July 2011, just on the eve of the referendum. People were jolly. There was no mention of you are from Wire. And in fact, you could feel like you are in your own country. But after that, things have changed today. Now, these hate speech have caused a lot of division in this country. The question is, what more can be done to at least through your effort to minimize the rate at which this hate speech is taking a toll on the society?
I mean, let's not kind of, this primarily is an issue of governance.
Yeah.
Like this is primarily is an issue of governance. It's an issue of national, that's what we're discussing with Rebecca. These issues, hate speech is actually a symptom of a larger issue of governance. Because what you see now in a lot of areas, we have historical injustices that have not been. Even this Bentiu that you're talking about, there is a doctor who was slaughtered in that place like about 2-3 years ago. And now there are a lot of doctors from different places who have a lot of reservations going to some places. You have areas in this country, if you are a national, if like, you know, the constitution says we have freedom of movement, but you know very well there are areas in this country, if you are not from that county, you cannot get a job there. Even if you are appointed by the UN, you will be returned back.
Yeah.
Because... because of your nationality, because of your, sorry, because of your ethnicity. So these are primarily issues of justice and issues of, we need to sit down as a country and address some of these issues.
Okay.
And say, how do we come together as a country? What is the mode that we want this country to run? Now, after we address those things, we address the issues of justice. Now we need to also teach our people and create the awareness that is needed.
Okay, before we open our lines to our listeners, Rebecca, the question is, how does hate speech silence certain individuals or groups or undermine the civic and political space in South Sudan, for example?
Hate speech undermine a lot of things, especially the fear that it creates it in a person, you will find that instead of being creative, instead of being a nationalist, you start, you know, creating a fear in you that you are not able to be productive, you will not be able to progress, you will not be able to think, but you will only think to hate. You see, you will grow hating a certain community. Let's say currently people who are in a displaced camp, you find that when they wake up daily, they only hear that Denka, Nuer, you see, depend on the camp you are in.
Yeah.
You see, just look at such a child.
So your entire life is...
Hatred. You see, this is an innocent child that is just born as a South Sudanese. He's just told that he's a South Sudanese.
And but he did not apply to be born as a South Sudanese.
He did not. Mm-hmm. He just came as an innocent citizen who know nothing, just to the world. But you know, somebody somewhere is just instilling in him, or, you know, rooting it in him or her, that, you know what, Nuer and Denka and, you know, Equatorian and, you know, a lot of things being in place in them. You find that this child will only grow in fear and in hate, and he will have nothing. Then, you know, this child is born for a purpose, to be a doctor, to be a politician, to be anyone. But this person's life has been turned to something else. So it undermined the growth of this person. It undermined the purpose in which the person. So generally, the whole life of South Sudanese is twisted to nothing but hate.
Okay. Yes, if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Democracy in Action on Radio Mirai with me, Sunny Martin. And in the studio, I have Nelson Kwaje, who is the Executive Director, Digital Rights Frontline. Your title remains, right? You said, okay, the title remains, but the name I've already changed from Defy Hate Now to Digital Rights Frontline. And also I have Rebecca Agao Deng, who's the director out of Chronic Hatred, and we are discussing efforts in addressing hate speech in South Sudan. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace. Radio Miraya, Radio Miraya.
Let's unite against hate speech and misinformation, because combating misinformation, hate speech, and unethical reporting is a collective responsibility. This message is brought to you by media stakeholders in South Sudan.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
I'm called Emmanuel Asande. We have to have peace and reconcile with each other. When there is peace in the country, each and everyone will know that they are brothers and sisters. We shall live in love and harmony.
South Sudan, a new dawn, a new beginning. Let's celebrate the peace.
Alaikum salam.
You're listening to Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome once again to Democracy in Action. And if you have just opened your radio right now, here we are discussing about efforts in addressing hate speech in South Sudan. And I have with me in the studio Nelson Kwaje, Executive Director, Digital Rights Frontline, Rebecca Agaudeng, Director of Out of Chronic Hatred. And our lines are now open. You can call and ask your questions. They will be answering them all right here. Hello?
Jacob Dior from Yerol.
Okay. Jacob, how's Yerol this morning?
Yerol is fine. It's a bright day.
Okay. Go ahead with the question, Jacob.
Thank you, Sunny. You know, I've been one of the people worried about the incitement going on in the country. And the question has been very high. What could we do to curb all what is happening? To me in particular, social media has incited thousands more than ever. It has divided us on the ethnic lines. and this is a misconception. Sincerely speaking, the conflict that is happening in Upper Nile now, it is started on social media. Even the 2013 conflict, it was on social media, but people did not come out massively to condemn it. So to me, I have been emphasizing on shutting down some social media outlets. Then a massive campaign is carried out in the country so that when people come back to their senses, that one you will be able to do. I remember Ethiopia put off Facebook in 2017 because the students were focusing on Facebook more than studies. And it worked. So to me, I used to say Facebook needs to be cut down for 3 months. Then a campaign is carried out in the country. I don't know what do they think about this.
Okay. I think it happened not long ago, where many people are not online, though some people are using VPN and all this kind of thing. So you can still call us on 091-206-7879. Hello?
Peace Boy from Ezo Camp.
Okay, Peace Boy from Ezo, go ahead.
Indeed, this head speech is spreading all over the country. What can be
okay, what can be done to the same question like from Dior in Europe? Hello?
Yeah, this is John from Wau.
Okay, John from Wau. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thanks for the lesson, Isidro. I have just only one question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, social media, I mean, head speech is a dangerous disease, can cause conflict among people, among tribes, among community, all of this. So my question to the guests in the studio, are they doing awareness to people who are using those social medias? Because people are misusing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, let's begin with Rebecca. From you are the director from your organization. Are you carrying out awareness to people, to social media users, to enlighten them about the dangers of spreading hate speech, and also telling them, look, this country can explode in 1 minute with what you are doing?
True. We are doing this. We are ensuring that we have meetings, community engagement with people around us, even individuals that are within us. We ensure that hate speech to people we can encounter one-on-one, or even in the, we normally speak to the congregations in the church,
mm-hmm.
and we inform them on what exactly what social media is used for, you know, and we inform them on the advantages of media and disadvantages, especially in this rising conflict situation in South Sudan. So we normally hold meetings like early last month, we had a peace symposium where we talked about non-violence, how to address peace, how to address conflict, and other issues around hate speech and conflict mitigation. So when we are having such conversation at the community, we normally emphasize on the role of media in especially spreading conflict, and even it is the same tool that can be used to spread message of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, Nelson, this question from Jacob Dior suggesting that this Facebook should be shut down in South Sudan. And also again, there has been a lot of discussion that most of the hate speech we hear are done by people who are outside the country. Not all are from within. So even if you shut down, still to find its way to South Sudan. What's your take on that, and what can be done to have a mass campaign on combating hate speech in the country?
Yeah, I think that's actually a valid question, and a lot of people have been raising it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the times we discuss with the regulator of telecommunication in this country on some of these issues. We also discuss with these social media companies.
Mm-hmm.
There are some countries that take these drastic actions. Like, I mean, even in Djibouti,
mm-hmm.
they had to shut down TikTok and Facebook sometimes. I think even if it could be still shut down up to now. You see, in Uganda, Facebook is shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a country, countries need to weigh the pros and cons. If we see that this is an actual thing that is going to, if there is an actual conflict that is going to happen, that people are going to lose lives, at times countries take these drastic actions.
But people will say, oh, it's our right, it's our fundamental right.
Now, those drastic options, they need, because this thing, it needs to happen through consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we have means of decision making in this country. We have parliaments that represent people, that represent constituencies. We have agencies that are kind of in charge of this process. And we also have people can also express themselves through their own means.
Yeah.
That's why people at times take petition, they take protest, they do all these things to express what is their will. So those are the mechanisms that people need to use. If the parliament passes a law that says, hey, we need to have, once we reach this threshold, we should shut down social media to avoid this and this, that can happen. But of course, we don't want to also reach that level. Because social media, such once you start availing this type of avenues, you're not sure even when it is going to be abused. Because what if I just shut down social media so that people do not expose crimes and human rights issues? So, but the most important thing is to do content moderation, not to shut down the social media.
How do you do that?
You do content moderation through escalating content and talking with these social media companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of countries, they have an in-country policy that then interfaces with these social media companies.
Mm-hmm.
So these social media companies come, you tell them, hey, you know, like in our country, we do not accept, for example, nudity, we do not accept this. This is against our culture. This is against what and what. We do not want to see these things on our platform. So now you collaborate with this platform so that whenever there are issues, and even if there are content that are illegal, you actually send for them a legal request.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do this and this. Turkey does that a lot. Like Turkey sends about maybe close to like more than 1,000 requests per year. Hey, we need a request for this. We need a request for that. Because if someone does something criminal, for example.
Yeah.
Like firearms, you're transporting firearms or you're selling drugs on your social media pages. This is a criminal thing.
So do you have existing laws in this country that can regulate that?
We have a law that is not being discussed, the Cybercrime and Computer Misuse Act.
Mm-hmm.
It actually now needs a lot of people to go to parliament and give public comments.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, the issue with this country, and I think it's all the, like a lot of countries, but this country, people like to exercise ignorance, but they don't want to exercise knowledge.
Yeah.
Because we have a law right now that is being debated. This is the time, all these questions that people have, oh, I want this social media to be shut down, I want this to be done.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time for us, what? To give comments. Because once this thing is passed into a law, it will be very hard to amend. Yeah.
Okay, maybe to comment on this. It's not about shutting down the social media, but it's about accountability and responsibility. You see, as a person that is holding the phone or the user of the media, it is up to you, what are you sharing? Is it of your interest? Of what purpose is it? So as an individual, you have a responsibility. The government also, on the other side, with the existing law, there's an accountability on who share what and for what purpose, you see? Because whatever mission that person is sharing, the social media has a purpose and has a, you know, something to achieve. So it is all about responsibility and accountability and, you know, separating the expression, you know? You need to express yourself. So the moment you have to shut down, you're also not doing justice to the other people.
Okay. And there is a question here. It's very interesting from Jackson in Juba here. He say, good morning, Nelson. It has been a while. The question is, you have hinted that most of these hate speech are being generated in funeral places, in the churches, and on a WhatsApp group. How do we address that?
How do you address? I think you need political sanity in this country. And you need accountability because some of the things, and at times it is not even direct hate speech. Mm. There is something called in media called dog whistling.
Yeah.
You know, right now in this country, there are a lot of words. It might sound very innocent, but it means, like right now, the word cattle keeper, when I say cattle keepers, you don't think of Mundari.
Yeah.
You don't think of Mundari. You don't think of people from Eastern Equatoria.
It's part of hate speech.
No, it's not part of hate speech, but it's a language that you can mask to actually send a message.
Okay.
Yes, because when you say cattle keepers, people know that you're talking about Dinkas.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Mundare cattle keepers. You're not talking about cattle keepers
in Eastern Equatoria.
In Eastern Equatoria and what?
Even here in Central Equatoria.
Even here in Central Equatoria. Yeah. So these are words that are kind of grown over time to mean something. Now someone says, hey, cattle keepers, they know. When someone says, that's the NGOs.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you.
Yeah. So it's the gurus.
Yeah, when someone says NASA NGO, it's the gurus.
NASA UN.
NASA UN. You're not talking about Murule. Mm. They know that you're talking about Equatorians.
Yeah.
So this is language that at times it might not be hateful, but you know, someone in a platform can use it to target a certain community.
Mm.
So it's not only a question of like, hey, which words are bad? The question of what is the messaging that is being sent? Because there is a lot of messages that can be sent in a very calm. So the way is to really bring political sanity and to have methods of accountability. Once we have that, once we have a sense of accountability, and we need to make it a national issue. I know the president issued a directive on this sometimes back, but we really need to make it at the highest level.
Okay.
So that we can bring this down.
Finally, in 30 seconds, what is needed right now to combat hate speech in South Sudan?
We need a legislative process, and we need accountability mechanisms, and we need to invest resources. We need to invest money in media. We need to invest money in awareness from the schools, from the churches, and from all the communities.
Okay. Rebecca, finally.
Finally, I would suggest that the government of South Sudan should take a strategy of rebuilding trust among the communities and ensuring that the mistrust is being uprooted and people of South Sudan unite and trust themselves once again like in 2011. I also suggest that civil society unite to campaign against hate speech, hatred and conflict within this country. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca Agaudeng, Director of Out of Chronic Hatred. And also I would like to thank Nelson Kwaje, Executive Director, Digital Right Frontline, for coming. And we hope to talk to you some other time. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we have come to the end of our this week's Democracy in Action. My name is Sunny Martin. Next week, we will be here again, same time, same radio station. And bye-bye for now.